where are you in your walk? Y'all be real quiet in the comment section. Where are you in this walk? Are you a babe? Are you an infant? Are you a toddler? Are you a teenager? Or are you a young adult in this walk? I would like to know. Plus, it helps me out to gauge where everyone is, so I could bring out certain scriptures or certain chapters that's more influential in your walk with Yah. I guess by now you have came across the story of Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez, and now that the story broke that the body cam of that infamous night was leaked out, and then she told the cop that she did not get shot, that she stepped on glass, and she got that cut before she even got into the car. And now they're just running her through the mud, which is all part of the ritual. It's all part of it. And if you understand it's a ritual, just like Manly P. Hall has said, he said, cloak the ritual in entertainment. Cloak the ritual in entertainment, and they will chant the incantation that blinds them. Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Freemason. So what probably happened was the girls got into a little tussle, that something happened, or somebody must have saw something that called the cops, because then the fire truck showed up, police showed up. And the funny thing about this story that I've always pointed out is that you never saw any of the ballistic tests. You never saw any of the bullets that hit the cement or the sidewalk or any object that was around her foot. You trying to tell me after they spent a whole night drinking at Kendall Jenner's place that this man jumped out the back seat and had 100% hit rate? That her dancing in the street or dancing on the sidewalk trying to escape bullets, he was able to, with the John Wick eye, with the eagle eye, hit her foot every single time he fired that weapon. Makes no sense. Plus, if she actually got shot in her foot, them bones would have been broken. She would have been out for a year. But if you remember, she did this whole thing where she showed a cast, she showed the little marks, and then she went twerking in high heel shoes literally for like maybe 3 to 4 months afterwards. So it didn't make sense. And if you saw the injury, you know ain't no bullet touched her. Ain't no bullet touched her. She said she got hit in both feet, but she only showed one foot when she was trying to gain witnesses to believe her. And I remember they jumped on me because I went after her. I went after her mom dying on March 22nd, which is 322 Skull and Bones. She tried to tell me that, she had died of a brain aneurysm. Let's be honest. If you look up how many people die yearly of brain aneurysms, it's literally 17,000 in the whole world. But if you go to other celebrities, some other celebrities have died with brain aneurysms. So what are the odds of 3 or 4 celebrities or celebrity parents dying of brain aneurysms being the 17,000 people worldwide? It's impossible. It's impossible. And so they had the little thing where they tried to expose me. Shade Room tried to expose me, because obviously you already know the point of that whole site, that whole Instagram is to prey on the emotionalism of ignorant Negro women. So they try to put me up there with that this you, when I was talking about, hey, if you go out with a man that coined the term demon time and you get shot in your foot, then you got to stick up, you got to account for your stupidity. That's what I said. So then he tried to dis-you me by putting up my arrests, which makes no sense. That's like apples and oranges, because I know that's a ritual. The fools, the Negro American fools, don't know it's a ritual. So then they drag it on. So for 4 years, 4 years, we didn't have seen nothing about the body cam. We haven't seen any of the evidence. But all of a sudden, they leak this out. After 4 years, usually, they show you the body cam literally after maybe a couple of weeks or even a month, especially when they know somebody else's life is on the line or somebody's freedom is on the line. They would come out with this information. So the fact that they didn't come out with this information should tell you that the police departments are on it or in on it. That the whole LAPD police force is in on it. Most of them are probably littered. Most of those departments are littered with Freemasons. So, of course, they held it back for 4 years just to get the ritual through. So then now it became black women versus black men. And now that that's already been said and done, they want to revamp it because, like I said before, this is the year of 59, the year of the Negro, of mocking Negroes in this time period. And so now they're going to reverse the ritual and go black man versus black woman because black women can't tell the truth. They're always lying. So it's just a spell. It's just a Willie Lynch doctrine being replayed over and over and over again. That's all it is. It makes no sense. Then they're going to try to tell you that Tory Lanez got stabbed in prison. Come on. They need to make money off him. Why would they chance him being in prison? Especially if it was just a ritual. And then they try to bring Jay-Z into it. He's some mafia boss that he has power to do this and do that. He doesn't have power to do nothing. They hire this Negro to pick who's going to perform during a halftime show. And even that, they have to have an overseer for that to even okay whoever he selects. He doesn't have any type of gangster or mafia power. They literally have Kanye West tell him or tell the whole world that his children is retarded and this man ain't do nothing to Kanye. Not even smack him, fight him, say anything. Like everything, every movement that they make is all strategic. It's all placed on a script and they can't say anything out their mouths unless their masters tell them. So the fact people think, oh, Jay-Z hired this so-and-so person to stab Tory Lanez, it's never happened. It has never happened. Them days of them being gangster and being tough, them days was long gone. As soon as they signed to be a Prince Hall Freemason, that means they have to sit and wait for orders. That's what they do. They can't do anything. They are puppets just like the rest. But anyway, this is another, I would say another, not a warning, but this is another witness of the offerings of offerings that I talked about on previous episodes. But I like talking about offerings because it gets you in the mind frame, again, to look at yourself as an offering. So I was at Sirach 35, which is Ecclesiasticus 35. I'll start at 1. He that keeps the Torah brings offerings enough. He that takes heed to the commandments offers a peace offering. He that requites a good turn offers fine flour. And he that gives alms sacrifices praise. So donating to the poor, donating to the widow, donating to the fatherless. But also when you give an offering that you mingle it with wine or fine flour, that's literally the new moon ordinances and how you should worship the Most High. To depart from wickedness is a thing pleasing to Yahuwah, and to forsake unrighteousness is a propitiation. You shall not appear empty before Yahuwah. For all these things are to be done because of the commandment. The offering of the righteous makes the altar fat, and the sweet savor thereof is before El Elyon, or the Most High. The offering of the righteous makes the altar fat. So, it could be symbolic, or it could be you have an altar, and what you place upon that altar, the Most High knows. He takes notice of these ordinances and these statutes. This is all part of praising and worshiping Him. Most people think going into a building on Sunday is doing him justice by praising and worshiping and dancing and two-stepping and doing that hoodoo voodoo two-step, think it's that's giving the Most High praise. But if they just simply read the scriptures, this man loves offerings. His children speak of offerings. His elect talk of offerings and participate in offerings. The sacrifice of a just man is acceptable, and the memorial thereof shall never be forgotten. So you sacrifice when you yourself pick out the good of the selection of meat, or good of the wine, or good of your fruit, or the good of your doings, or of your first fruits of your hands. And you give Yah the best portion, and you yourself do not take of the best portion. So you sacrifice what you would usually do for yourself, but for Yah. That is a beautiful thing to understand. Because it exists, it is acceptable and also never be forgotten. So imagine down the line, when we come to our judgment day and the Most High recalls all of your offerings, all of your righteous givings and peace offerings, and you look to your left and you look to your right, and you see people who are in religion who have none of that. Can you imagine when the Most High brings up our offerings and brings up our needs? And most people won't bring up offerings. They'll just say, well, I put this money to the building fund. I gave to my church. I gave to my pastor. He is a servant of you. And this is when Yahushua says, flee from me. I have not known you. Give Yahuwah his honor with a good eye, and diminish not the first fruits of your hands. And all your gifts, show a cheerful countenance, and dedicate your tithes with gladness. Give unto El Elyon according as he has enriched you, and as you have gotten, give with a cheerful eye. For Yahuwah recompenses and will give you seven times as much. I don't see why people don't want to try the Heavenly Father on these scriptures. You're not tempting him. You're not testing him. You're trying him because you want to see if the word is true. And the more you understand that the word is true by trial, it makes you cleave to him even more. The Most High has angels, his messengers, even himself on standby, waiting for y'all to come to this understanding, to be part of the called out assembly, because this is what you're going to be doing. Either it's in New Jerusalem or New Earth or in heaven, you're going to be doing offerings. You think the Most High is just going to cut that off as soon as this whole world is renewed? No, it's going to be done again. And when it says, for Yahuwah recompenses and will give you seven times as much, and this is absolutely true. I can't tell you how many times where I would get strangers come up to me asking me, hey, I'm stranded. Can I get some money? And I know this test is usually from Yah. Because I'd be leaving out of the grocery store having already spent money. And then people stop me and say, hey, you got anything to spare? And I would give literally a lot. I would give as much as I can give. And then I would wait like a couple of months later somewhere. I would get this check or I get some type of blessing out of nowhere. And I'd be like, it must have been when I gave alms. It must have been when I offered. And it's always been past seven times as much. So I don't know why y'all guys won't try it. The Most High will not be made a liar, especially through his word, especially through his servants. Do not think to corrupt with gifts, for such he will not receive, and trust not to unrighteous sacrifices. For Yahuwah is judge, and with him is no respect of persons. He don't care who you are. Do not think you're going to offer him and say, oh, I'm offering because I want this, or I'm offering because I want that. No, you offer because you know it's the Most High's just due. You offer because this is what he has provided you. If he has given you a new home, Then you provide him with whatever offering you've gotten from having that new home. If he has given you a job, then it's up to you to provide the first fruits of your hands because of the work you have done or the work he has given you and put it on the altar. He will not accept any person against a poor man, but will hear the prayer of the oppressed. He will not despise the supplication of the fatherless nor the widow when she pours out her complaint. Do not tears run down the widow's cheeks, and it is not her cry against him that causes them to fall. He that serves Yahuwah shall be accepted with favor, and his prayer shall reach unto the clouds. I think about that when it comes to our prayers, our words. And it also, if you read in the Testament of Solomon, it also talks of how demons fly about listening to the heavenly beings, and they also listen to our words. And they say the words are caught up into the sky, into the air, and that's what causes them to come to land. It causes them either through judgment or the just chance, it causes them to come to earth and to enact their purpose. So we don't see it. We just think we're just talking and air comes out of our mouths. But in this scripture, it must make sense that whatever we say, even through prayer, comes up, it flows up. Just like an ascending smoke offering, our words are either righteous or unrighteous, flow upwards. And the Most High either hear it or he reject it. But all of our words are written down. Every last one of our words are written down. Every last one of our acts are written down. It even talks about it in Enoch. He that serves Yahuwah shall be accepted with favor. Most people are not serving Yahuwah. They're either serving themselves, they're serving religion, they're serving vanity, they're serving idols, they're serving doctrines that are perverse from scripture, but they are not serving Yahuwah. The prayer of the humble pierces the clouds. The prayer of the humble pierces the clouds. Until it come nigh, he will not be comforted and will not depart till El Elyon, Most High, shall behold to judge righteously and accept or execute judgment. For Yahuwah will not be slack, neither will El be patient toward them, till he have smitten and sundered the loins of the unmerciful and repaid vengeance to the heathen, till he have taken away the multitude of the proud and broken the scepter of the unrighteous, till he have rendered to every man according to his deeds and to the works of men according to their devices, till he have judged the cause of his people and made them to rejoice in his mercy. That is a day that is coming soon. It is a day that is coming soon. Till he have rendered to every man according to his deeds and to the works of men according to their devices. Now, again, I talked about AI in the last episode, but it's a little bit more, I wouldn't say complex, but a little bit more dire than when I understood it. I just knew that AI was going to come in and pretty much wreak havoc and take a lot of jobs. But there's a tech CEO. No one knows his name, but of course, it's coming from mainstream media. They just say a tech CEO. A tech CEO said it's going to be a bloodbath, that in the next 5 years, it will be a job bloodbath. That means they're going to knock the middle to middle lower to the lower and on down. They're going to knock all their jobs out with AI. If you have a job that's a skill, like you need to go from home to home or you need to be very personable, your job is safe. But if you are a person that works or do a remote job or you do trucking, or you do anything that you think that a computer could do or a self or automated driver could do or automated person can do, I would think you better be start searching for another job. I mean, I feel bad for the younger kids, the kids that are in college that are coming out. They're going to have a tougher time trying to find jobs Because when that AI starts to get unleashed, it's over. You won't need, if you look at it now, you really won't need Uber drivers. And how do they Hegelian dialect that? They just start showing you that either it be the passengers or the driver having altercations in the back seat. Either the passenger is trying to rob the driver or the driver is trying to kick out the passengers. And they show you this and say, okay, this is the solution. Now, mind you, we don't know the percentages of how many passengers or Uber drivers have been attacked since its inception. But they just show you, hey, this is what's going on. So their Hegelian dialect is to give you the solution, which is go automate it. Just automate the drivers, automate the cars. So you just get in, hop in, boom, you're on your way. So now that cuts out people who used Uber as a little side hustle to get extra money. That cuts that arm off. I mean, obviously, Tesla, you know, with the trucking, they're already getting to automation. They're already testing this out. So they won't need drivers. They won't need truck drivers to fall asleep on the road or, you know, pull over. It'd be all-night jobs. And they would have to need this because that's why they're slowing supply chains down, purposely slowing supply chains down, so they can then, again, give you a Hegelian dialect and say, all right, we're late on shipments. We can't get shipments through. It'd be better if we can have drivers that can drive all night without having to rest. Boom, automation. So the days of you working at home or just being on your laptop, that's slowly coming to an end. So when after COVID, they say, all right, everybody come back to the office. Everybody got to be at the office. And everybody groaned, whined, and complained. And then they said, okay, don't come back to the office. AI came through and it's like, all right, we told you. So when people say they're not going to take fast food jobs, and these young kids are not going to take fast food jobs because they think they're too entitled for it, bring in automation. So basically, the people who don't really have basic education, like I'm talking about like a high school diploma, if that, or a GED, they're going to be washed. Where do you think they're pushing these people? Where do you think these people are going to go? We're talking about evictions. We're talking about crime. We're talking about theft and stealing on a level that we really can't comprehend. You thought it was bad when people was running in and out of CVS's and Walgreens and Apple stores and snatching and grabbing. It's going to be worse than that. Because then it's going to be like, why do I need to go somewhere where it's going to be security cameras? I'd rather try my luck at a celebrity's house. I'd rather try my luck at a sports celebrity's house or just random people's houses in the neighborhood. They don't have that many cameras. That's why they gave you these stories of so-called NFL quarterbacks, celebrities, pretty much Freemasons, getting their houses broke into. They want you to believe that this is what's going on. Because why? They have AI to give out a security covering. Everything they're going to show you, they're going to have an AI answer for it. So that's why they're pushing all these stories on you. You think they're pushing these stories for you to be awoke and be like, okay, I need to protect myself? No. They want to scare you and put so much fear in you and say, all right, we have AI that'll cover all of your security issues. And if people are like, okay. So basically, you're turning your whole entire life or your entire grid into a prison. That's it. I remember a brother contacted me through email and he was thinking about a job that either he should stay at this job or go somewhere else. And I'm glad I gave him the proper advice and said, bro, you can be your own boss if you be somebody else's apprentice doing a skilled job, a job that AI can't do. Rather than stay in a company and try to work yourself up and then get chopped at your knees when AI takes over. Because it's going to happen. Some of you better start really assessing where you are as far as job status and start looking at whether your job or your career is prone to having AI come in and take it over. Now, art, I don't know. I mean, AI can make art, but it still ain't the same. Like, you would rather have a real painter paint rather than an AI give you a graphic design. So I think those jobs is anything that's like real creative that you need to be have a personal relationship with, I think that will survive. But as far as anything that's done over a laptop, phone, numbers, either binary or any type of code, AI can come in and chop that right on out. And you should know they can program AI to pretty much do what it wants. They'll tell you, like, oh, yeah, it became self-aware, like it's Terminator in 1984, that Skynet has become aware at 2:14 a.m. on August. Da, da, da. It ain't gonna happen that way. Computers still bug out. They still need people to encrypt. They still need people to wash out the bugs. AI can't redo its own bugs. They need people to actually fix servers. So you know that people who are the CEOs of these tech companies, these AI companies, you know they can put a code in order for it to turn on us. And this goes back to scripture when it says, the works of men, according to their devices, he will recompense. He will render every man according to his deeds. So if the Most High is going to destroy America, he's going to turn all of man's devices and quote unquote hurtful works onto themselves. So if you're trying to look for a job, like I said, either if you're in high school or college, or you're coming out of college, you better start looking for a skill. Because you know who's going to be taken care of? People who are in Greek organizations and want to sign up to be Freemasons. I think that is the funnel. The funnel is, oh, you assume or already know because we have been exposing Freemasons and we have showed you that Freemasons run this and run that. People are now gravitating to that spell. Well, these people must be running things. I might as well join them. They're getting taken care of. They're celebrities. They're in businesses. They get opportunities. So let me join them. I can't tell you how many Freemason stickers and bumper stickers and license plates that I've seen with Freemason logos on the street. And I literally go from 10 to 15 minutes, when I got to drive somewhere. And I've seen almost every week, I see a Freemason logo on a car. And it ain't celebrities. It ain't nobody rich or billionaires. It's people who are plumbers, electricians, or just a pickup truck driver. So they are obviously understand that Freemasons have some type of tie-in to this matrix. And they think, or most people think, that if I'm with these people, then I'm going to be taken care of. And you can understand why when the Most High says a lot of people are born in vain, taking these oaths, you can understand how much blood is going to be on this earth when the Most High comes back for vengeance. When he says he's gonna wet his glittering sword, when he said he's gonna tread the wine press and the wine fat, I don't think we can't fathom. Some of us have never seen a wine press or how they make wine. But if you've been to a winery and you see them big barrels and you know there's nothing in there but the blood of the grape, just imagine if you poke a hole in that thing and let that thing run out. Just imagine how much blood is gonna be all over this earth. But if you are called, if you are protected, if you are covered by the Most High, then it's going to be a glorious day for you when he comes back. He says that you are going to tread upon the wicked when they are burnt to a crisp. You will walk upon their ashes. I don't think the Most High is lying about that. And they've been giving you, again, 9/11 programming. Donald Trump. Yesterday, oh, Donald Trump, May 30th. I should say, Donald Trump, May 30th, had a picture of himself on the phone pointing, pointing, and the time on the phone was 9/11. Now, why that is significant? Because Larry Silverstein, his birthday is May 30th. So they telling you we're real close for another 9/11 event. They're just warming it up. Just like they warmed it up to us before we actually came hip to all the symbolism and all the cartoons and CD covers and, you know, lyrics that they put in songs and stuff. We were just deaf to it. About to blow up like the World Trade, Born Center, a hop opposite of a winner. That we was singing that bop and had no idea 3 years later that the towers would be attacked. But this is the lead up to it. Now we're seeing it in real time. And I think May 29th, the commissioner of 9/11, the commissioner, I guess either the report or the commission that he was a part of that's supposed to tell you the findings of 9/11, he died. I think his name was Bernard Kurtz or something like that. He died at age 69. But if you run his name through the Gematronator, it comes out to Chaldean 33. And in ordinal, which is A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, his name, Bernard Kurtz or Kurtz or something like that, comes out to 116. If you flip it upside down, it's 9/11. So they're getting ready. They're getting ready. It must be getting closer. This is what they're going with. Back to back like that. So they're getting ready. You should know they're getting ready because it's getting real quiet. And I think they're going to put another ritual with this whole Pacers and Knicks game. I think it's going to go all the way to the end. I could see the Knicks being in the finals because obviously the numerology of New York City is 33 and 666. So you know it's going to be a center for the next biggest ritual. Just as it was in 9/11. It may not be on 9/11, but it'll be something close, or the numerology has to be something close to 9/11. And I think New York will be the first to drop, and it needs to. If you want to kill a financial institution or a country's financial institution, you hit them where their finances go. You hit them where the money is more prevalent. You don't hit Montana and then you're going to fool people and then thinking that the economy is going down. No, you can't. You wouldn't even hit California. You would need to hit New York every single time. As a matter of fact, you need to hit New York, down to D.C., and down to maybe PA and VA to actually make a point. And you can see it coming. Like I said, they keep showing you buildings again being exploded, trucks being exploded, wildfires, which I don't even think they're wildfires. I think people are just setting fires because they want to get ready for these AI centers. And Elon Musk right now is working on one, a big supercomputer in Mississippi, I believe. Yeah, he's working one in Mississippi where the black inhabitants of that area are falling ill or getting cancer. I'm talking about they have the highest cancer rate in that particular city where Musk is building this supercomputer. And of course, the mayor can't do nothing and won't do nothing because that mayor is a Kappa Alpha Psi member. So basically, just say he's a Freemason. So they're getting ready. They're planting it. All they need to do is start putting up security cameras, AI security cameras, AI facial recognition, social crediting system. It's coming. Because once everything falls and people are getting thrust out of their homes and the economy is not working for them like it used to, they're going to turn to crime. And in a way that they're going to Hegelian dialect that is to say that we need AI to supervise. We need AI facial recognition. Why do you think they had these Negroes flee the jails in New Orleans? And they'd be like, we can't find them. We don't know where they are. But they're showing you when they got caught on Bourbon Street. Some of them got caught on Bourbon Street. But it was because of cameras. And they're saying, we need more cameras. That's what they want you to say. We need more cameras. Everybody's setting themselves. I'm telling you, this entire world is setting themselves up. These NPCs are setting themselves up. This is like watching Grand Theft Auto, and everybody's just chilling, waiting in the lobby for the next mission. And you could just see it. You could just feel it. But those of us who are following or trying to follow the laws, statutes, commandments, we have a different struggle, a different war going on to stay righteous and stay upright. We are completely removed from this world. So that's why I really would like to know where you guys are in your walk. What are you struggling with? I mean, I know some of you are going to say, oh, I'm struggling with alcohol, I'm struggling with marijuana, I'm struggling with that. No, you're struggling with escapism. You're struggling with distraction. You're struggling with dealing with this world. Now it's even actually harder because you cutting off your flesh, you're cutting off your pleasure sensors, things that used to make you feel good and help you get through the day. Now, because you come into this walk, they are no use to you because now your ruach is becoming stronger than your flesh. So now you're going through it twice as hard. It's twice a struggle for you. So I would like to know where you guys are, because it's a lot of scriptures that could be brought out to help you on your way. So I know this is a very short episode, but this is where I get to do my homework by listening to you in the comment section, so I can come back and actually hit you with scriptures, because I could just talk all day. But if I don't know you, and if I don't hear from you and know what you're struggling with, then it's hard for me to gauge where my listeners are and what they actually need to hear. So I'll be waiting in the comment section of what you guys are actually struggling with or actually succeeding in. Because I love to hear the stories of you guys triumphing over either it be lust, alcohol, fornicating, or being in places that you shouldn't have been, or just coming out of religion. I think most of you are already coming out of religion from the interviews I have done. Because every time I talk to one of you, you'd be like, oh, I used to be this, I used to be that, and this is where I'm at now. So I'm giving you my ear so I can hear exactly where you guys are at. Peace.